My contribute to this very interesting and inspiring morning is to give an insight about how global inquiries in immigration settings can be performed, starting from some recent experiences in Italy and France. So how we have already seen from the previous presentation, female genital mutilation in Europe is a really challenging topic with difficulties in the estimation of the phenomenon, and most data are available for Europe are obtained by means of extrapolation of that data from practicing countries. And so we know that this data on prevalence can help estimating the total number of women with FGM, but cannot provide really information on, for example, the type of new mutilation. We don't know if the typology and their occurrence are the same of practicing countries and on consequences on health and women's need for care. As the health has already underlined, there are issues about data from administrative records because existing hospital and medical records have some limits, and most of them are relatively new, and their goodness will be evaluated in time. And also we have a potential limitation, for example, in hospital and medical records as a source of data for the problems related to under-recording of FGM, because we have problems in adequately register and individuate FGM, and also lack of nomenclatural codes for recording FGM, and also insufficient cultural competence for health professionals, for example, in asking self-declaration, and also problems in getting in touch with women, because some scholars have underlined that practice-based gynecologists are rarely contacted by women, and that dedicated services or facilities will be needed in order to reach these women directly. So having all this problem, it is possible to have direct data for FGM in an immigration context. Well, main problems arising in quantitative surveys dedicated to FGM in immigration countries are, for example, finding women, because we know that these women are from an elusive population that includes undocumented migrants, asylum seekers, naturalized citizens, second, third generation migrants. Some of them are not statistically visible and are not reachable through population registries, so we don't have a list where we can drive a sample from. Then we have the problem to ask the information and approach the topic, which is not supposed to be discussed in public or outside the communities. And also we have the problem to have correct answers, because as we have already seen this morning, some women do not really know their status, and some women may omit their status due to social desirability bias. So it is, coming again to the question, it is possible to have direct data from immigration context? Well, the answer is yes, with some compromises. Some first examples of these inquiries are the excision and ethnic surveys that has been taken place in France in 2007-2009, that is all been already mentioned this morning, and the survey on the presence of population at risk of FGM that has been taken place in Italy in 2010. First of all, we have to remind that the surveys have some ethical issues, some proper to social health studies, other to the statistical approach, and others to the sociological approach that must be considered when we have to deal with a survey like that. And then also we can try to answer the question that I have so far posed. So how can we find women with FGM in our first inquiries? We have used mainly a facility-based approach, so we met women in hospitals, family planning clinics, or other services, included dedicated services for immigrants. And in the case of the Italian surveys, a respondent-driven approach is being used. So we asked to the women who participated to the survey if they knew some friends or community association who could contact for other inquiries. And then we used a quota sampling. For example, in the Italian inquiry, it was a quota of selected nationalities, and in the French survey, it was a case control methodology. What we learn from this non-statistical sampling is that, of course, it's key to include also non-mutilated women in the sampling, so we can make comparison between effects and outcomes for women with FGM and without FGM. Using health facilities allows an intimate talk and the possibility to be helped by other experts such as psychologists or gynecologists, because maybe when women talk about their experience, they may not feel very well at the end of the interview, and so they keep in touch with experts. And the combination with a respondent-driven approach, which is more like a snowball sampling, allows researchers to contact, for example, women who do not use health facilities, so can ameliorate our results. Of course, it would be nice when we do a survey to cover all the territories in a country, but this is, of course, not possible. So at the macro level, we must select regions or cities where a large number of women from practicing countries is settled. A point of strength of this approach is that undocumented and second-generation migrants are included in these samples, because information on legal status can be included or not in the questionnaire. And the main point of weakness, is that, of course, this is not a statistical sampling, so it's not perfect, I'd say. Once we have found a woman to interview, the second big question is how to ask the information and to approach the topic. Just to citing myself, back in 2007, me and a colleague in a study approaching estimation by the way of notification and reporting from medical professionals, we said, and direct estimates are needed, as FGM is a topic that cannot be openly asked to women. Well, what we learned years later is that this is not really true at some conditions, of course. Interviewers should be carefully chosen and trained. For example, in the case of the Italian surveys, we had cultural facilitators and social workers in the field of reproductive health. And we also chosen women from the same communities that were able to translate and formulate questions in an appropriate way, and to also use their role as insiders, so it was easier to talk. And another good point is to create a good harmony with health professionals participating to the surveys. What we found out in this experience is that women are often willing to talk about FGM. Refusal rates to our questionnaires were quite low, And what we learned is that women were willing to talk because it's something that never happened before, and they felt that there were a lot of prejudice about FGM, and they were willing to tell their stories. So it's not really true that this topic cannot be approached. And then we have the problem on having correct answers, and here, of course, we have already seen this morning that problems are many. Of course, we have to try to avoid social desirability bias, so means to avoid this are, again, nice interview settings, interviewers from the main community, and possible to have, for example, interviewing women's native language. And also we have to respect that women, as we have already seen, may lack of knowledge of their status. As we have seen, we have these two pioneeristic studies. The French studies had three phases with field preparation, the collect of individual questionnaires and physicians' forms, while the Italian survey was more simple and had only a field preparation phase with field preparation in each health centers and training of the interviews, and interviews in healthcare facilities, which were about 52% of the interviews, and interviews in private home for the rest of the part of the interviews. The questionnaire had some general information, such as social background variables, for example, age, marital status, education, employment status, information on sexual and reproductive life, for example, age at first intercourse, birth, breastfeeding, use of contraception, abortion, and so on. Information on migration, such as age at arrival or frequency of returns to the home countries. And also, for example, information on gender equalities, as attitudes or experience of unwanted marital sex and something like that. About FGM, the questions were very much similar to the DHS and multiple indicator cluster surveys questions. They included the self-reported experience of FGM, attitudes towards the continuation of the practice, benefits in undergoing and not undergoing FGM, intention on daughters, and daughter status, and FGM health-related problems, as we have already seen, and experience of surgical reparation. Why FGM dedicated surveys are, in my view, very important in migration settings, even with all these limitations? One point is that migrants are usually different in their main profile from the country of origin population. So using results and data from DHS or multiple indicator cluster service can really bias results. Having direct data can also give us the possibility of testing in direct estimation and see what is the bias that we have in doing these estimations, this indirect estimation. Also, we can underline what is the type of FGM diffused among migrants that can be different from the country of origin. For example, in Italy, we find out that there was a higher percentage diffusion of less invasive forms of FGM than in country of origins among immigrants. Also, we had information on other dimensions that are related to FGM perpetuation and FGM experience. And also, attitudes on daughters can help us to estimate the number of girls at risk. And also, we can study mechanism of transmissions in emigration. Some lesson learned from our experience is that, yes, FGM with some limitation can be an object for inquiries. Of course, it's very, very important to have a good team of interviewers and a good setting for interviews. We found out that women are willing to talk about their experience and maybe far less of their sexuality, because we had a good response on items, for example, of FGM, and less on other things. It is also important to have the possibility of doing a comparison with DHS and MICS surveys in home countries, so we can do comparison between overseas community and national communities. And while, of course, we deal with cross-sectional surveys, once we do our surveys, it's really key to collect retrospective information. For example, information at the time of each daughter's circumcision, or things like that can help us to better understand the phenomenon. And also, I think, information about the role of the communities, because, as we have seen in Claudia Kappa's presentation, is really important in the country of origin. And I think it should be understand if it's the same in emigration and how. Thank you for your attention.